give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks, for He has given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks, for He has given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. For what the Lord has done for us. And now let the sick say, I am healed. Let the bound say, I am free. Because of what the Lord has done for us. So give thanks. Oh, give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks, for He has given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks, for He has given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the sick say, I am healed. Let the bound say, I am free. Because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks.
Amen. God always testing, testing. You can give me just a little bit more juice on this. Yes. Amen. Thank you. God always blesses us with wonderful music here at Southside. I want to thank our praise team, amen, and our musicians, so talented to be able to play and sing, and Angie to be able to play the machine over there, and then I look up and she's playing the drums. Praise God for gifts. Amen, for gifts. Before I get into the message for the day, you've noticed these flyers here, a walk through Bethlehem. I promised Pastor Scarborough that Southside would be active in helping out with this annual Christmas program. The mission is free, And it's a wonderful time to come up and see this wonderful demonstration that they have. It's a live action journey through the first Christmas presented there at Hillcrest Seventh-day Adventist Church. So this is every year, December the 6th through 4th through the 6th, and then the 11th through the 13th, and then again the 18th through the 20th. And we want to invite all of our members at Southside over. We're trying really hard to support our sister churches here in town. And then when Southside has a program, I told Pastor Scarborough we're expecting to see members of his church supporting us as well. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. As well as Central. So I told him we do our part in supporting Hillcrest and expect to see their participation in our programs as well. That would be only fair. This morning, I have a message for you this morning. We know it's around the Thanksgiving season, and so I want to bring you a message of Thanksgiving this morning. The story is told of a man who was lost in the woods, and later in describing the experience, he told a group of people how frightened he was and how he had eventually, he had even finally, through all of this, he said he finally knelt down and he prayed to God. And then someone asked him in the group, "Did God answer your prayer?" He says, "Oh no," the man replied. "Before God had a chance, a guide came along and showed me the way out." And like that man, many of us are blind to the many blessings that God daily showers upon us. We don't see the blessings that God showers upon us from day to day. You know, we wake and we look at the sunshine as if that's we're supposed to get that. And we don't even thank God for the sunshine. And we hear the birds chirping outside and see the beautiful flowers and trees. And speaking of flowers, I thank God this morning. Did you notice the flowers out in front of the church this morning? Amen. I want to thank the Lord for a generous donor who supplied us with those beautiful flowers out in front, because we want our church to look wonderful. Amen. Some of us don't realize the blessings. You know, we grumble about having to eat the same old cereal or forgetting that many would gladly exchange places with us just to have anything for breakfast. We complain about our jobs, forgetting that many would be grateful just to have a job or even to have the strength to go to work. We complain about the lack of money, forgetting that we spend more on entertainment each month than many around the world would earn as their annual income. We spend it on our cell phones. And whether we believe it or not, God has blessed us far more than we realize and far more than we deserve. And for him blessing us, the only proper response is to glorify him from a thankful heart. From a thankful heart. So I want to open up the Word of God to the book of Luke. If you have your Bibles, and maybe we can get it on the screen as well. We're going to turn to Luke. Book of Luke, just tarry with us long enough to hear the blessing that God has in store for us. Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. So before we read God's word, let's bow our heads. Father, as we approach your sacred pages, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. How to respond to God's blessings. Luke, the 17th chapter, verses 11. And let's read through verses 19. Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, only one, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and says, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." What a wonderful story in the Word of God. Luke picks up this journey motif of Jesus proceeding through Jerusalem, toward Jerusalem, where he will meet with his appointed destiny. He's traveling somewhere along the border between Samaria and Galilee, where he enters a village and encounters 10 leprous men. And according to the law, they keep their distance, but they recognize Jesus through their leprous eyes. They recognize Jesus and cry out to him for mercy. Rather than drawing near and touching them as he did with the leper in Luke 5, Jesus simply instructs them to go and show themselves to the priest. And there would be no point in such action unless they were cleansed of the leprosy. And yet at this point, they were not cleansed. They had to act with obedient faith. As they were going, they were cleansed. And then the story tells us, but only one of the 10. And the Bible points out that this one was a Samaritan, not a Jew. Only one turns back to glorify God and give thanks to Jesus for his great mercy and power. Now, the implication in this passage is that the other 9 were Jews. And Luke seems to put this here to show the rejection of Jesus by the nation of Israel, whereas this foreigner receives not only healing, but he receives salvation. Thus, he is showing that the way of salvation is open to all who call upon the name of the Lord. Can you say amen? And many who have received the temporal benefits from the Lord are in danger of missing that which they most need, namely salvation of their souls. And I'm going to point this out in a few lessons, try to bring out four lessons that I learned from this passage. And let's review some of the things we learned in Luke 5. You know, Jesus healed a leper in Luke, the 5th chapter, by touching him. But in this passage, the 10 lepers, all Jesus did was spoke the word, and they were healed by faith. Now, you know, leprosy. We got some doctors out there who can tell you maybe they don't deal with leprosy in this part of the world, but it was a skin disease, leprosy, and known as Hansen's disease, and this disease takes a couple of forms I've been reading about. And they start with either a white or pink discoloration of patch on your skin. And the more benign form is limited to skin discoloration in a number of places. And even untreated cases heal in from about 1 to 3 years. And it might begin with a little nodule on you. This was a common disease then. And these nodules become ulcerated. And they give a foul discharge of pus coming out of the nodules. And I'm even told your eyebrows fall off. And the eyes become staring. And this disease can even affect your vocal cords, could even have nodules on them, so that you don't have a full voice. Your voice becomes hoarse. That was a common sound of lepers. Their voice would even be affected because of the nodules on their vocal cords. And the breath wheezes. The hands and feet become ulcerated, and slowly the sufferer becomes just a mass of ulcerated growths. And the average lifespan of a leper back then was 9 years. And it ended with mental, starts affecting your mind. And eventually death comes. It also affects the sensation of your extremities. Your muscles, your tendons contract until your hands begin to look like claws. And you get ulceration on your hands and feet. It becomes difficult to walk. And physical disease was horrible. But there came with leprosy the social consequences as well. The fact that you had to be put outside of the city, the walls of the city. You could not live with your family. You were taken away from your family. This was a law, the Mosaic law, there in Leviticus, the 13th chapter. And the Mosaic law prescribed that the person be cut off from society, including your family. And you had to wear torn clothing, and you have to have your head uncovered. You have to cover your lips and your mouth. You couldn't comb your hair. And you had to shout unclean, unclean in the loudest voice that you could. Unclean wherever you went, warning others to keep their distance from you. It's a dreadful disease. And these 10 men had banded together. And it was said that 9 were Jews and 1 was a Samaritan. But when you both, all of you are suffering with a dreadful disease, you have a common tragedy. And it breaks down the laws of nationality, like diseases do. Whenever there's a disaster, it seems to be human nature. All lines are broken down when there's a disaster.
So you have these outcasts separated from the worship and separated from their own people, separated from their church, and seemingly under God's curse. And the Bible wants us all to see ourselves in our natural state before Christ. We all are spiritual lepers in his sight. Bible says that all of our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. Who could know it? So our first lesson that I've learned through this encounter is that we should all see ourselves as these lepers were unclean before men. We are all sinners before God. We all have sinned. Number two, I've learned that we all should do as the lepers did, call out to Jesus, the Master, for mercy. Recognition that we all are sinners. And we all should cry out, Master, have mercy on us. Leprosy attacked the vocal cords so that these men probably could only make a raspy sound as they cried out to Jesus, but that didn't stop them from raising their voices and crying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. And the gracious Lord Jesus will never turn a deaf ear to the cry like that. These men knew Jesus by name. They had heard of him, as Isaiah of Ages tells us. But they also called him Master, acknowledging his authority. And Luke is the only gospel to use this word in addressing Jesus. Master, these lepers take their proper place under Jesus' sovereign authority. They call him Master. We must put him in his proper place as Lord and Master when we come to him. Lepers pleaded, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And mercy is, like grace, is God's undeserved favor upon each one of us. Grace is getting what we do not deserve. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. Mercy also contains the thought of compassion. And Jesus was compassionate. He was a compassionate Savior. By crying out for mercy, these men were acknowledging that they did not deserve healing. They weren't claiming, we're lepers, but we're pretty good lepers. We think we're worthy of being healed. They knew that there was nothing in themselves to earn healing or to commend them above others. And this is the only way we could come to God for deliverance from our sinful leprosy, to acknowledge that we deserve God's wrath, but to appeal to his great mercy. The good news is that God delights to show mercy. He loves it to those who cry out for him. He's abounding in riches for all who call upon him. For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. When Moses asked to see God's glory, the Lord passed by in front of him, you remember that, and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin, yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generation. God's holiness demands that he judges sin, but his mercy is the predominant and leading attribute. Whatever you need, call out to the Lord. He is full of mercy. Number three, I've learned we all should respond to these lepers as these lepers responded, with obedient faith. When Jesus healed the leper in Luke, the 5th chapter, this was one leper. He first healed him, and then he instructed him to go and show himself, you remember that, to the priest. But here in this instance, without any evidence of healing, Jesus commands these 10 lepers to go and show themselves to the priest. In this, their situation was similar to that of, remember, Naaman in the Bible. Jesus asked Naaman, the Syrian, whom Elisha told to go and bathe in the Jordan River. It was a test of faith for them to go without any evidence of healing. And we're not told in the Bible that whether or not these lepers had a debate about whether or not to go, but I can imagine one of them arguing, well, we'll look like fools if we show up before the priests in our present condition. I can imagine them saying, and Satan trying to create doubt in their minds, and another one may have said, yes, but we've got nothing to lose. This is our only hope. And then another one would reply, but it hurts to walk on these leprous feet. And then his friend would reply, I know, but if we do what he says, maybe we'll be healed. But I can imagine another one saying, but this isn't the way he healed the other lepers. Why doesn't he heal us the same way? And then I could imagine his friend replying, I don't know, but we must be obedient. We must obey. Maybe they didn't have such a debate, but the text doesn't really say, but at any rate, it says, as they were going, they were cleansed. And I don't know if it happened all at the same time. I don't know if one was cleansed and then the other. The Bible does not say. But in spite of that, the cleansing of these lepers pictures what God does to the souls of those who call out to him for salvation. He instantly cleanses us from our sins. He clothes us, thank God, with his perfect righteousness of Jesus. He restores and heals our souls. The only condition to receive God's healing for our leprous souls is that we take him at his word, that whoever believes in his son Jesus will not perish, but have everlasting life. And just as these lepers did not first try to clean up and make themselves presentable, so we are to come to Jesus just as we are. Just as these lepers did not just believe intellectually, but had a faith that obeyed Jesus at his word, so we must exercise personal, obedient faith in him with regard to his promise to save us from our sins. God is trying to line us up. He's interested in our salvation. And the last thing that I gathered from this story was that we all should respond as the one leper did, glorifying God at the feet of Jesus with thankful hearts. Glorifying God at the feet of Jesus with thankful hearts. This thankful leper represents the full fruit of saving faith, namely, lips that give joyful thanks to his name. And the fact that this man was not a Jew, he was a Samaritan, shows that the way of salvation is open to all who will call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus calls him a foreigner. That's the only occurrence of this word in the New Testament. He calls him a foreigner, a word that was on the signs prohibiting foreigners from passing the inner barrier of the temple. Paul tells us that Christ broke down that barrier of the dividing wall so that we who formerly were excluded from the commonwealth of Israel now have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. And notice how this leper's praise was heartfelt. He glorified God with a loud voice. If before his voice had been hampered by the nodules on his vocal cords, if before his voice had been hampered by this dreadful disease, it was freed up now, and he exercised it with full force. Others may have been embarrassed by his exuberance, but the man didn't care. Jesus had healed him, and he was going to make it known. And this leper's glad praise should be that of every person whose heart has been healed by Jesus' mighty power. Glorify God. Twice it's mentioned that the man glorified God. In chapter 17, verse 15, and in 18. And glorifying God is to extol his attributes and his actions, to exalt his name. Let others know how great God is. That's why I thank God for our praise time that we have. The words to the music and the praise should lift our spirits, make us grateful to God. Praise the Lord. I've been reminded that the term praise the Lord is not just a slogan or something nice to do. It is a command. And if your life, if my life is not marked by frequent praise to God for his many blessings, I'm not being obedient to him. While prayer will last for this life only, praise will continue throughout eternity. Those who have experienced Jesus' cleansing power should glorify God. At Jesus' feet, he bowed down, this one Samaritan. Whereas before the man had to keep his distance from Jesus because of his disease, now he comes up near to him. This one Samaritan that was left ran up to Jesus and falls on his face at Jesus' feet. He took the proper place of worship at Jesus' feet. Jesus says, "He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him." John 5:23. We cannot properly glorify God if we do not fall in adoration at Jesus' feet. He's the eternal God who willingly left glory of heaven to come down to this sinful earth, suffer and die for you and I. So we must spend time at his feet. It's an attitude of humility. Thankful hearts. The leper was giving thanks to him. Thanks to him. The leper was giving thanks. The Maasai tribe in West Africa has an unusual way of saying thank you. They bow. They put their forehead on the ground and say, "My head is in the dirt." Another African tribe expresses gratitude by sitting for a long time in front of the hut of a person who did the favor and saying, literally, "I sit on the ground before you." These Africans understand what Thanksgiving is and why it's difficult for us. At its core, Thanksgiving is an act of humility. It acknowledges our debt to the other person. So clearly, Jesus was pleased at this one Samaritan who came back. Pleased at his expression. Hebrews 13:5, 15 through 16 states, Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of the lips that give thanks to his name and do not neglect doing good and sharing. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Every day, we should be filled, not only thanksgiving, every day we should be filled with gratitude for those, for all that the Savior did for us when we were spiritual lepers before him. 13 years before his conversion, as I conclude, John Wesley had a conversation late one night with the porter of his college that deeply impressed him and convinced him that there was more to Christianity than as yet he had found. Wesley discovered that the man had only one coat and that nothing had passed his lips that day except a drink of water. And yet his heart was full of gratitude to God. John Wesley said, "You thank God when you have nothing to wear, nothing to eat, and no bed to lie upon. What else do you thank him for?" The man replied, "I thank him that he has given me my life and being and a heart to love him and a desire to serve him." How many of us can say that today? With grateful hearts. If others were to see how grateful we are, how many will be drawn to the Savior to find mercy for their souls? How many of us are grateful? During this season, we can sit at the feet of our relatives and friends in our comfortable spaces and feed and feast upon the delicacies of thanksgiving. How many of us can give thanks to God today for this season? How many of us can give thanks to God today for the jobs that he's provided us? For the health care. I heard someone earlier this week talking about the health care they had and their insurance coverage. I just thank God for that I have insurance coverage. Many places don't even have hospitals. I remember my trip to Togo, Africa, being in a small village where people didn't have access to hospitals or any health care. So that many of them would die from diseases at an early age. The lifespan of a man was 48 years old. You're 48 years old in Togo, Africa, you're considered an old man. Didn't have the health care that we take for granted. Didn't have the health. Couldn't just walk outside and jump in an automobile and drive off. Didn't have transportation. Didn't have clean water. How many of us can give thanks to God for the blessings that he's bestowed upon us this morning and over this season? I got calls, and as I work in the hospital, and Tabari could tell you, there's many people in the hospital now over the holiday season wishing for the health that they had before, but they lay in a hospital bed this morning. How many of us can say thank you for my health? How many of us can fall at the feet of Jesus and say, "Have mercy on me, Lord. Thank you for what you've given me." And if you're grateful today, I'm going to invite you to stand. Stand with me now. As I invite the praise team up, I believe, to do our closing song.